please give a warm welcome to our brother in Christ, Scott Schwartz.
Thank you, brother. Well, shalom. Who can tell me? So today is Friday, right? Am I right?
Yeah.
Okay, because I flew from the East Coast. We got up, he picked me up. This is my friend Vinny, head of our men's ministry and elder at Calvary Chapel, Cornerstone in Howell, New Jersey. But he picked me up at 2:50 in the morning, a.m., yesterday, and we flew. So I'm like, it's Friday. Who can tell me what's significant about Friday evening? Can anyone tell me what today might be right now as the sun sets? Correct. So Shabbat. So I will greet you with Shabbat Shalom, and then you say Shabbat Shalom. So Shabbat Shalom.
Shabbat Shalom.
Oh, that's amazing. I love it. And Yiddish speakers, with the Orthodox Jews, they say Good Shabbos. So I'll say Good Shabbos. Good Shabbos.
Good Shabbos.
That's great. Some Orthodox Jews, when I say Good Shabbos, they say Good Shabbos. They're so excited. Because Shabbat is the queen of the week, right? God has gifted them the Shabbat to slow down and rest. But if you don't know me in our ministry, Scott Schwartz, I'm with Life in Messiah. We're the oldest Jewish ministry to the Jewish people in North America. There's a table out back, and we have some magnets that says, pray for the Schwartzes, because if you're reaching Jewish people, which is an unreached people group in the United States, we need prayer, right? Paul prayed for an open door to share the gospel. So we have these wonderful little magnets with my family. You can put it on there when you see us. Pray for us, but pray for the Jewish people. Pray for God to move and to open their eyes, that they would see Jesus as the fulfillment of all that the law and the prophets have spoken about. Amen?
Amen.
And then there is some information about who Life in Messiah is. We were started in 1887. And what we're doing, where we've been, where we are, and where we're going. And if you'd like to get our ministry updates, you can fill this out. You can scan the QR code, but fill this out, rip it. It's tethered here. It's not tethered. I'm sorry. It's going to be untethered, but it's perforated. Rip it off and hand it to Vinny. Oy vey, it's a long night. I'll blame it on the early start yesterday. But yeah, so that's a little bit about our ministry. We're in New Jersey. I'm the short-term ministry coordinator, so Dijon and I are planning for you to bring a group to Brooklyn, and you're going to spend 7 days in Brooklyn, New York, learning all about the Hasidic, the Haredim, the Orthodox with the payas and the black jackets, and we'll be eating Jewish food and learning about the Word of God through a Jewish lens, and you'll be doing outreach with Jewish people and smelling New York City and tasting New York City and hearing New York City. But my wife and I are in the Lakewood area of of New Jersey. We were in Brooklyn. COVID came and God opened up a field for us in New Jersey. There's 135 Orthodox Jewish people in Lakewood alone. And the largest rabbinic yeshiva is in Lakewood with 9,000 students. So that's in the shadow of our front door. So we have a lot of ministry that God has provided for us. That's a little bit about our ministry, but you can check us out. We're on Facebook, Instagram at lifeofmessiah.org, and we have a YouTube page, which we are adding content all the time. There's one video of me interviewing Orthodox Jews in Brooklyn on what they think of Jesus, and it's hilarious. So the one guy starts out, I said, so tell me, what do you think about Jesus as the Messiah? He's like, I know who Jesus is, who played right field for the New York Yankees. But I don't know about Jesus. So it's really clever and really enlightening, and it'll just give you a love for the Jewish people. So YouTube, Life of Messiah. So praise the Lord. Shabbat Shalom.
Shabbat Shalom.
So we're going to do this Passover Seder together, and Passover begins in a few weeks. And what we're going to be doing is actually what traditional Jews do, except for an Orthodox Seder, which goes for 4 hours. This is just a condensed version. It's a Passover Seder on Red Bull, all right? So you have in front of you a Haggadah, so I'd love for you to pick it up, and you're going to notice something a little funny about it. Who can tell me what's a little different about this Haggadah?
Backwards.
It's backwards, that's right. And I like to say, it's not backwards. Non-Jewish people are backwards, right? But I want you to turn to the back of the book, which would be normally the front of the book if we were reading in the Western world. And we're going to go through a couple things, because we're going to get to some things you're going to go, that's odd, I've never seen that before. So I want to draw to your attention to it now so you're not distracted. And tonight, I want tonight to be worshipful, right? The Seder was a remembrance of an order of service. So Seder means order. So if someone was to say, is everything ready tonight? Someone would respond and say, Beseder, in Hebrew, everything is in order. So we're having an order of service, a Seder meal. And the Haggadah means to tell, to retell the story. And God commanded the Jewish people, when I bring you out of Egypt and I set you free and you worship me, I want you to remember the story of the Exodus. Because when we remember, it leads us to worship. Do this in remembrance of me. We're going to see communion come right out of a Seder dinner. And when we remember what the Lord does, how does our heart respond? How do we respond? With worship, don't we? So we're going to remember what God did for the Jewish people and for Israel, and we're going to also remember and see what God has done for us. So everything that God did for the Jewish people, God does through Jesus the Messiah in our lives. Amen? So I want us to be caught up in worship tonight. And this is an immersive experience, as Pastor Dave said. We're going to be smelling. We're going to be tasting. We're going to be hearing. We're going to be seeing. And I tell this funny story. I'm from Philadelphia. How you doing, yo? And we were big Flyers fans, and my dad had season tickets, and we would go into the stadium, and I remember smelling this funny smell. I'm like, Dad, it smells weird in here. He's like, oh, that's from all the beer that's being spilt on the floor. So I got accustomed to smelling this yeasty smell of beer. And when I was 18 and 20 and started going to restaurants, I'm like, I smell that. And I was transported back to the spectrum when I was 7, 8, 9 because of the smell. So smells and tastes trigger our memory. So we're going to be tasting and smelling. It's going to trigger our memory, right? It does for me as a Jew. I remember when I taste horseradish, I don't remember the 4th of July. I remember a Passover Seder, right? So that's a little bit about what we'll be doing tonight. So the back of the book, page 52. Why is this book printed backwards? Well, Hebrew is read from right to left. Though most of our version is in English, we have preserved the traditional format and much of the traditional content notes have also been added. You're going to notice some strange English letters. It's transliteration. So as I'm saying some prayers in Hebrews, you can follow along. As I say it in Hebrew, you can follow along in the transliteration in English to get an idea of the Hebrew language. There's some symbols here. When you see the hourglass, we're going to be seeing God at work. God's past faithfulness encourages our present trust. Amen? We're going to remember, oh, God was so faithful then. And if he was faithful then, he's the same yesterday, today, and if he was faithful then, he'll be faithful now. And if he was faithful to the Jewish people, he will certainly be faithful to us as blood-bought sons and daughters of Jesus. And when you see a silhouette of the lamb, that's going to point to Messiah, Yeshua. So that'll be poignant for you. When you see a menorah, that's Jewish tradition. Tradition, if you've seen Fiddler on the Roof. And then our branding. So Life Messiah has the Magen David, the Star of David, and the fish. That's the Messianic connection. So that is where something was promised in the Torah, in the Tanakh, and where Jesus the Messiah fulfilled it. Aren't you glad that Jesus fulfilled things and brought us salvation through his work? Amen? And that's what tonight is all about. I'm excited. And then finally, there's a dash when we pronounce God or Lord when it's printed to take the vowel out so we're not writing God's name out because the Jewish people sanctify the name of God. All right? So that's it. Let's get started with our Seder. And let's pray. Father, we thank you for tonight. God, thank you for the Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world. We thank you, Lord, for this wonderful story, this picture of redemption and deliverance from slavery and sin into a new life of freedom and hope, a living hope. Undefiled, that fades not away, reserved in heaven for us. God, we worship you and thank you for Jesus being the Lamb of God. May you open our eyes. May we see the wonders of your miracles, and may we hear what your Spirit is saying, and may you draw near to us tonight. In Jesus' name. And everybody says,
amen.
Amen. All right, so turn to the back of the book, or the front of the book. So page 3, we're going to be doing a lot of reading tonight, and I'll sprinkle in some jokes, as you've already seen. My kids call them dad jokes. So Passover is a joyful time of celebrating the faithfulness of the God of Israel in redeeming his people from bondage. When the Hebrew people, descendants of Abraham the Hebrew, were slaves in Egypt, God instructed them, "This Passover day is to be a memorial for you, and you must celebrate it as a festival to the Lord. You are to celebrate it throughout your generations as a permanent statute." In 2 weeks, on the 11th or 12th, we're going to be celebrating Passover throughout the entire world. And Jewish people are still doing this ancient feast even today, thousands of years later, because they're obeying this commandment. You were to keep this as a permanent statute. Passover, was designed as a family event, according to your families, for the Jewish people. But from the very beginning, I love God's grace. God is inclusive, inviting foreigners to his table. The Lord made conditional provisions for the non-foreigner to participate. So if you are Gentile, raise your hand if you're Gentile. All of you are invited to celebrate the Lord's Passover tonight. So if there's any thoughts of, I'm not Jewish, I can't do this, throw that in the trash. You are welcome. Jewish and Gentile believers of Messiah Yeshua, Jesus' Hebrew name, have been united in faith. Those once foreigners to the covenant of promise truly are family of Messiah. You guys have been grafted in to the unconditional covenant made with Abraham and his children. Amen? Wow. It's wonderful. And I'm honored and just thrilled that you as Gentiles are coming to New York to share the message with the message of Jesus to the ones that was first given to, right? The Jewish people were given the message first, and you're bringing it back to them, right? You've been given with a gift, and you want to give the gift. Hey, this is your gift. Open it, right? So we have that. Understanding that Yeshua has fully met the demands of the Torah. And aren't you glad that Yeshua has fully met the demands of the Torah? He has met every commandment, that we just follow him by faith and we're made righteous. Abraham believed God and it was accounted to him as righteousness. You believe in Jesus, it's accounted to you as righteousness. So understanding that Yeshua has fully met the demands of the Torah, it is our joyful privilege to do 3 things this evening. 1, to celebrate Passover together, remembering the historical significance of God's redemption of Israel from slavery to sin. 2, to see the completed picture of the blood of the Lamb of God applied for our redemption from bondage and sin, to see the connection with the Lord's table and the communion service. Vinny, can you hand me my water right there? All right. You guys are, you know that you're at 2,900 feet? We're at sea level. 3,000 feet's like 10,000 for me right now. Thirsty. All right. So how do we prepare, right? So give a hand to all the folks. Lee and the team back there have been slaving. They're like my Jewish mom. Mom's like, get out of the kitchen. I'm getting ready for Passover. I'm like, don't you want my help? No, you'll make it worse. Go upstairs. But preparations are to be made. And here's what God commanded the Jewish people to do. I hope my mom doesn't see this online. It's not being videoed. So at the first Passover, God gave instructions for preparation. I want you to read Exodus after the Seder. The next couple of weeks, go through Exodus. It's going to be like in 3D now that you've seen some of these things. Exodus 12 and 13, God commanded them to prepare. What are they to do? They are to select an unblemished year-old male or kid of the 10th of the month of Aviv, renamed Nisan during the Babylonian exile. The lamb was to be watched until it was slaughtered on the 14th day of the month, to be sure it was without, very important, without defect. The lamb had to be perfect, all right? I had an Orthodox Jew. I walked, this funny story I have to tell to you. We're praying about going to Brooklyn, New York. I felt God was calling us. I had finished my studies at Moody Bible Institute, got my Jewish studies degree, and they were looking for workers in Brooklyn. And our executive director said, go, spend a week in Brooklyn, scout out the land, spy out the land, pray that God would confirm it to you. So I'm like, lions and tigers and bears, oh my. My wife is like, if you say that again, she's like, you're driving me crazy. I'm like, I just want to make sure that God's called us here because I have these three little kids and you, and it's New York, and it's, ah. She's like, you need to seek God right now, and you need to ask the Lord to confirm. So lo and behold, I'm like, Lord, we're going to go to Brooklyn. I need you to confirm that you're leading us, right? So where God guides, God provides. So I pray. We go to the 9/11 memorial. My kid is a bookworm. She sees Barnes & Noble. It's like a candy store. I'm like, she's like, let's go. I'm like, okay. So we go into Barnes & Noble. They run up the stairs. I get to the top of the stairs. I'm like, where are you guys going? I'm looking around. I see this like 6'4" gentleman with payas and black jacket. I'm like, oh, it's an Orthodox Jew. Ooh, okay. I look some more. And you go into Barnes & Noble, it says, or any nice bookstore, cooking. It has all of the markers, right? Cooking, history, right? I see him, I look, I'm like, what section's he in? First, he's not supposed to be in here because it's secular books. He's not in the religion section. Is it the religious? Christianity. I'm like, oh my gosh. You have to be weird, you have to be strange to be in Jewish ministry. So I said to him, hey, oh, I look around, it's a Timothy Keller book, What About God for Skeptics. I look around, I went, hey, he turns around. I said, you're not allowed to be reading that. He looks at me, who does that? What? After I do these things that are so strange, I look like, oh my gosh, what did you just do? My wife's like, oh my gosh. So what about God? He looks at me. I'm like, you're not allowed to be reading that. He's like, why? He looks at the book, he looks at me, he looks down, he's like, why not? It's about God. I'm like, good point. This is without a batting of an eyelash. He says, why not? It's about God. Next question. Are you a Messianic Jew? I'm like, okay, Lord, I think you're confirming something right now. I said, I am. What made you think that? He says, I don't know. You're God. You're talking to me. You don't ask weird questions from weird people that you've never met. You're strange. You Messianic Jews are weird. I said, I'm a Messianic Jew. Yes. He's like, is there more of you? I said, there are. He says, you observe Shabbos? I'm like, in my own way, not like you. He says, are there guys like you in Brooklyn? I'm like, yes. He's like, you have synagogue? I'm like, yes. It's Beth Shar Shalom. He says, okay, you tell me. And now the objections come. He says, you tell me, God, Hashem. And he stalks so loud. I'm like embarrassed. My daughter knows that when there's a ministry opportunity, take a picture so we can share with supporters. Look what God's doing. There's a picture with me standing next to him talking. And there's a guy that's the janitor. He stops his vacuuming and he's like this on his vacuum. No lie. That's because the guy was so loud. We had an audience. He says, God. And he's banging his chest. God, Hashem became man. Hashem became man. Explain that. Because they don't believe that the Messiah will be God. And we believe that Jesus is God. It's core to our Orthodox theology. And I said, as my kids say, oh, my chicken nuggets. I said, oh, my chicken nuggets, God, I don't know what to say. You need to give me wisdom right now. And God was so faithful, like lightning, he downloaded, talk about Passover. Oh, okay. And I'm like, so it's Pesach coming up this week, yes? He's like, yes, it's Pesach. What are you going to tell me? I'm like, well, I'm going to tell you a little bit about Passover and the spotless lamb. He says, go ahead, tell me something I don't know. I'm like, okay, Passover is coming. He says, yes. I said, and they had to take a lamb according to the law of Moses in the Torah, and they had to keep it for 4 days. Yes, tell me something I don't know. I'm like, give me a second. I'm trying. This is literally what's going on. It's crazy. And I said, the lamb had to be perfect. He says, yes. And they had to inspect it. Yes. And then they would kill it, pour out the blood, and put it on the doorpost and a lentil. And when the angel of death came through the camp, he would, what, pass over. But the lamb had to be perfect. He says, yes. I said, the only way that man could die for man is that that man was perfect. And the only way that that man could be perfect is if God came down as man who was perfect. He's like, and I'm like, thank you. I couldn't have said that without you. And he looked into me, he's like, I have nothing to say. And I gave him my card. Isn't that amazing? His name is Mendel, so you can pray for Mendel. But those are the opportunities that God has given us over the last 10 years, amen? And I believe he's not done. Praise the Lord. So where were we? We were preparing that long story. Dinner's gonna be a little bit later now. Good story though, yes? All right, so leaven, rising agents, had to be removed from the house. Leaven is the symbol of sin, and unleavened bread and bitter herbs, like the horseradish on your table, hot, was to be included in the Passover meal preparation. So, selecting a year-old lamb. So let's go in our mind's eye back to the days of the people of Israel in Egypt. God commanded them to take a lamb. So they would go and they would inspect the lamb. They would take it. They say, I think this one's good. They would take it. For 4 days, this lamb would be in their home, in and out of the house. First day, kids are so excited, little one-year-old lammy. Right? We just got two new kittens. Micah, like my son, bolts through the door. Where are the cats? I'm like, they're right there. Clean out the litter box. Oh, no. So they're all excited, the lamb. They're like, can we feed the lamb? Yes. They're giving it carrots and celery and vegetables. They wake up in the morning. Can we take him for a walk before we go to Hebrew school? Yes. They come home. Can we feed it some more? Yes. Can he sleep with us? No. It's out in the pen. 1 day goes by, 2 days goes by, 3 days goes by. What's happening between those kids and that lamb? They're bonding. And after 4 days, the father says, we need to inspect him. We need to inspect Lamb Chop, who you named at dinner last night. That's how much of a bond is happening. And the lamb passed the test. It's perfect. And dad has to say, the lamb has to be slaughtered at twilight. And the blood is to be poured out, and it's put on the doorpost and the lintel. And the children are able to see up close and personal that sacrifice is needed, a substitute, something innocent has to die in their place for them to be free, a picture of Jesus, the Messiah. So they are to inspect the lamb. They are to take rising agents, leaven out, and they are to eat unleavened bread with bitter herbs. Next, they are to remove all the leaven. So what is done traditionally in Brooklyn, I never saw this before, my family would clean the house out of all the good stuff, the pretzels, the tasty cakes, the hosties, the cookies, and put them in a bag, and we put them downstairs in the laundry room up on a, and I would know where they were, and I would sneak and break the Passover. And I'd have to ask the Lord Jesus when I came to faith, forgive me for breaking your feast when I was 12. But in Brooklyn, they take trash cans with holes, metal trash cans, and all the neighborhood comes to the middle of the block, and they're throwing their last bit of bread out, and they're burning the chametz. And you can know it's the day of Passover because you've never smelled anything until you've smelled burning bread. And it's like being so immersive in this community that we lived in for 5 or 6 years. So they do that. So in ancient days, or even now, the father would go off to work, and he would say to his wife, don't forget to leave me one crumb of leaven, and we get spring cleaning from this. Many people say we got the word or term spring cleaning because the Jewish people feast is in the spring. So the father goes off, the mom leaves a little bit in the baby's windowsill. Father comes home and says, children, come by candlelight. We're going to look for that last piece of leaven because Moshe commanded us to clean all the leaven out of the house. So they go through the house, they play the hot and cold game. So they're going down into the living room, cold, you're getting warmer, going up the steps, you're getting really, really warm. They're like, oh, we're in the right place, left, oh, you're getting hot, really hot. They go into the baby's room, they find it, daddy, Abba, Abba, it's here, okay. Takes a feather and a spoon, and he sweeps it up into this wooden spoon, and he wraps it in linen cloth, and they take it to the house where the rabbi is. In Brooklyn now, it's to the middle place. Rabbi's there, they throw it in the fire, and the rabbi pronounce a blessing, and they then go home to celebrate the Passover. They get home and the table is set with the finest of china, and the next thing is to light the candles. But real quickly, some of you remember this, so don't tell. Can anyone tell me the significance of the wooden spoon and the feather in the cleaning of the chametz? Any guesses? Shy. Who would like to know? There's only one reason and one reason only. Tradition? That's it. Why do we use that? Tradition? Okay. So next we come to the lighting of the candles. And we did a little drawing, and I'm going to invite, usually I have my wife with me, and we did a little drawing, and God has chosen The Price is Right. Joanne Adams. Where's Joanne? Joanne, come up. You're going to light the candles for us tonight. All right. So she's the mom of the home. So come up here. Yep. So I'm just going to have you light the candles, and then you can return to your seat. Thank you. All right. Thank you very much. Yes. So isn't this beautiful? It just changes the ambiance, doesn't it? The festival lights. Now, there's the light the candles on Shabbat. It's a division between the normal, the secular, and the holy. God's appointed time, the Moedim. And we've lit in these candles, and there's the light breaks the darkness. There's a division. We're now in this holy moment. Shabbat is being, the candles tonight on Shabbat are being lit. And doesn't it just, it's a stark contrast, right? Now we're really entering in to this festival of Passover, this special appointed time that God has called us to himself to celebrate with him. Normally the woman will wave the light to her eyes three times, cover her eyes, and say this blessing for Passover. Baruch ata Adonai Eloheinu melech haolam, asher kidishanu b'mitzvotav, v'tzivanu l'hadlik ner shel Pesach. Blessed are you, Lord our God, King of the universe, who commands us to light the Passover lights, B'Shem Yeshua HaMashiach, in the name of Jesus, our Messiah. Amen. So we've lit the candles. The next prayer is this wonderful prayer. It's called the Shehekianu. So it's at the bottom of page 5. It's Baruch Ata Adonai Eloheinu Melech Haolam, Ashekianu Vahigianu Vahigianu Lazman Hazeh. Do you see the English above that, the second English paragraph? You guys see it? Let's say that in unison together. This is a prayer. This is going to show you that the Jewish people are so close. They have a zeal for God, but not according to knowledge. This is a thankful prayer to God for preserving them to this moment. So let's read it out loud together. Blessed are you, Lord our God, King of the universe, who has sustained us, preserved us, and enable us to reach this season. Can you say amen to that?
Amen.
Come, I love it. I always know this church loves the Lord because I hear it in your voice. It's a blessing to me. Amen? Praise God. The Lord is present with us this evening. So let's go to page 6. So you have some grape juice in front of you. You're going to drink out of that grape juice 4 times. And I want you, after we say the blessing, I want you to take a really nice sip. And almost, don't swallow it right away. Savor that. It's a worshipful experience. We're saying a Kiddush. Kiddush is to sanctify. So we're worshiping the Lord as we celebrate this blessing. And there are 4 cups. We're going to drink 4 times, 2 before the meal and 2 after. And the 4 cups coincide with the 4 I wills. I will. I will is a promise, isn't it? I will. So I tell my son after he's been at school. It's funny, these kids are like, Dad, I was in school all day. I'm too tired to help Mom. Oh, you were in school. Really tough. Okay. I walked up and back in the snow, barefoot. No, I'm kidding. I say, if you help Mom tonight, even though you're tired, if you help Mom tonight, I will take you out for ice cream. I will take you out for ice cream. There's now this expectation. My son is waiting for the promise, right? With bated breath. Dad, are we done? Can we go for ice cream? Hold on. There's an excitement, right? God has promised the Jewish people, they're in slavery. Let's enter into their world. Let's tether ourselves to the emotions of what's been going on. Pharaoh has kept them in slavery. He's been a tough taskmaster. There's no union coffee break. It's work, 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 work. And they just were crying out to God. And God, in the midst of their suffering, and in the midst of their pain, and in the midst of their distress, says, I'm going to do something for you. You might not see it now, but I will, right? These are the four I wills that God promises to the children of Israel. And I have news for you, Calvary Chapel, Flathead Valley. These four I wills God has done for us and will do for us. Here they are. Chapter 6 of Exodus, verse 6 and 7. Therefore, say to the sons of Israel, I am the Lord. Okay, thank you. I am the Lord. Thank you, Lord. I will, one, bring you out from under the burdens of the Egyptians. They're like, I'm under burden here. This is hard work. And God is saying, I'm going to bring you out. Whew, okay, that sounds encouraging. Two, I will deliver you from their bondage. They were slaves. They were in bondage. God is saying, it's not going to be forever. I will bring you out and deliver you from their bondage. Oh, this is fantastic. Okay. Three, I will redeem you with an outstretched arm and with great judgments. I am going to, physically, with my own arm, deliver you from them. And then after I redeem you, fourth, I will take you to myself as my people. I will be your God, and you will be my people forever and ever. Aren't they awesome promises? God has done that for us. So we are going to say the blessing over the fruit of the vine. I'd love for each of you to grab your grape juice, hold it up high. I'm going to say the blessing. I would love for you to partake. Page 6, I'm going to say the blessing in Hebrew. Are you guys okay with reciting it in English after me? Together, yes. So this is the, I will bring you out from under their burdens. So Baruch Atadonai Eloheinu Melech Haolam Borei Pri HaGafen. Amen. Together in English. Blessed are you, Lord our God, King of the universe, who has created the fruit of the vine. I will bring you out from under the burdens of the Egyptians. Before we drink, are the Israelites under the burdens of the Egyptians? No. Did God make a promise that he would deliver them?
Yes.
Was he faithful to fulfill that promise?
Yes.
Let's drink. Amen. God promised to forgive us of our sins and take us to heaven. It's going to happen. Amen? I can't wait. So, next we come to the symbols of the Passover meal, the Seder plate. This is your traditional Seder plate that we have. Every table usually has one of these with all the different elements. So, in front of you, on your plate, you'll see a bowl with karpis, that's parsley. Okay, we're going to be dipping our parsley in salt water, and we'll unpack the significance of that. Again, all of these elements are looking back. We just drank of the fruit of the vine. We what? We looked back and remembered that God delivered us. And I remember being a kid and saying, God delivered them from Egypt. We're not in slavery anymore. And it was a worship service for me as a 9, 10, 11 years old kid. I remembered God did that for our forefathers, right? So we're remembering, we're looking back, and it leads us to worship. Next, you have some charoset in the bowl that's chopped. I don't know if you have a nut allergy. Are there nuts in there, guys? Okay, if you have a nut allergy, please don't. I don't have the gift of healing. David and the staff might. There's nuts, apples, grape juice, honey, cinnamon. That's to remind us of the mortar that the Jewish people used to build the bricks. We're remembering all the tough times, and it allows us to savor the freedom that we have now. Next, we have salt water. We'll dip that in there. There's some bowls. And then the star of the show is the bitter herbs. There's some horseradish. We'll go through each of those, and we'll talk about what they mean and what they symbolize. Let us continue. So page 8, I want everybody to grab some parsley. It can be as little as this much, just the sprig. And you should have some salt water on your table. I want you to just take it in there, let it soak for like 3 seconds, dip it one, two, three, and then take it out. So everybody do that. And again, these are symbols, visuals, sight and smell and taste to help our senses remember. Full immersive experience. God is brilliant. Do this in remembrance of me. Drink the fruit of the vine and eat the bread. So we're remembering and then eating and smelling and tasting. So, the top of page 8. Any fruit of the earth that is not bitter may be eaten. Traditionally, parsley is used. Green carpus, okay, reminds us, remember, of the hyssop used to apply the blood to the doorpost and lintel as God commanded in Exodus 12, 1 through 23. The carpus, or the parsley, dipped in salt water, reminds us, remember, of three things. The tears shed by the slaves. Who can remember scraping your knee as a kid and your tear drops over your cheek and comes over your top lip and you taste that tear? What does it taste? Salty. All right? God's knows what he's doing here in these instructions. Baby boys cast it in the Nile River and the waters of the Red Sea, salty. So we're going to say this blessing. Baruch atah Adonai, Eloheinu melech haolam, parei peri hadama. Let's say it in English together. You see it in the middle of the page? Blessed are you, Lord our God, King of the universe, creator of the fruit of the earth. Let's eat, taste the salt, and remember the tears. Isn't that amazing? A little dramatic, but it's amazing. I have a couple favorite Hebrew words, free information. I love the word chesed. Chesed is God's loving kindness. All over the Psalms, his loving kindness, his love endures forever, his chesed. And that means God's loyal, covenantal love. God is covenanted to us, and he's loyal. He's faithful. He'll never break his covenant with me and you. Like, we can rest in that. And doesn't that make you want to worship him and serve him, right? Because he's so good. The next Hebrew word is melech. Say melech. Melech. So Baruch atah Adonai Eloheinu melech. Blessed are you, Lord our God, melech, king. He's the king. Come on. Amen? He's the melech of the world. He is our king, and our king will set up his kingdom one day. Amen? And all of this will fade away. I won't have to get up at 2:50 to be picked up to go to the airport. No more COVID, right? No more tariffs. We'll be in the king's economy. Praise the Lord. All right, next we come to the middle matzah. Are you guys having a good time?
Yes.
Come on, amen. So this is what's called a matzah tash. It's sealed at the bottom. It's one container, and within this one container, it's divided into, believe it or not, three compartments. It's one container, three compartments. It's three in
one.
Remind you of something? Okay. Now, Jewish people, this is what, you can't make this stuff up. This was bought in a Judaica store. Jewish people do not believe in the Father, the
Son,
and the Holy Spirit. It's Gentile. It's churchy. We don't believe in that. But they have a matzah tash with three compartments. One, what are you, trying to be Christian? No. One. Two. Whoops, I blew that. One. Oy vey. Two. Here we go. Three. Okay? Three in one. Every Passover night, the first night, they don't take the first, God the Father, God the second, God the Holy Spirit. They do not take the first, they take the second. No joke. And they take this and they break it. Yep. And they put the middle unbroken part back in, and they take this and they wrap it in a linen cloth. But I'd like us to look up here. Who can see the light through here? Can you see? Can you see that it looks like it's been bruised? And this is matzah, which has no what? It's without sin. This matzah is the perfect symbol of Jesus. Pierced, beaten, he was bruised for our iniquities, and without leaven. Jewish people, you can't make this stuff up. Take this matzah, represents Yeshua, and they wrap it. Someone else was wrapped when he was taken off of the cross, wasn't he? And they put it in an afikomen bag. This is the afikomen, which means that which comes after or dessert. And they put it in this afikomen bag. And during dinner, Father will hide it or bury it. Who was wrapped and buried? Come on. And after dinner, it comes back because someone I know rose from the dead. And then it's broken and distributed to all of us. And we are given a what? A gift of the Messiah. Amen? Amen. We're going to see all this. Praise the Lord. Yay. This might be the best Seder ever. So that's what Jewish folks do, but they do not see Jesus. But one day, Zechariah 12:10 says, the Spirit of God will pour out a spirit of grace and supplication. What is, when we supplicate, what are we doing? We're praying. A spirit of grace and supplication, and they will call on him whom they've pierced, and all Israel will be saved. Amen? Amen. Amen. So pray, as Paul did in Romans 10:1. My heart's desire and prayer to God for Israel is that they would be saved. How will they hear without a preacher, and how will they preach unless they are sent? You might have to take multiple groups after this to Brooklyn, because everyone's going to want to come and preach the gospel. So Jewish people say, Baruch haba b'shem Adonai, and you will not see me again until you say, Baruch haba b'shem Adonai. When the Jewish people receive Jesus as the Messiah and say that, then the Messiah comes back. I have people saying, I want to share with Jewish people, because if that last Jew gets saved, then the Messiah comes back. Make sense? We want to hasten the coming. We want Jewish people to know the Lord. Amen? Okay. So next we come to page 9. There should be a plate of matzah wrapped in napkin. I'd like everyone, one person, to volunteer and pick that up and lift it. Like this. Just lift it up. And on page 9, we're going to read in unison this prayer. Okay? Everyone see where I'm at? The bottom of 9. This is the bread. Together. This is the bread of affliction, which our ancestors ate in the land of Egypt. Let all who are hungry come and eat. Let all who are in need come and celebrate Passover. Today we are here. Next year in the land of Israel. Today we are slaves. Next year we will be free. That was the longing of every Jewish soul, not only to be living in freedom. Moses went in to tell Pharaoh, let my people go that they may worship me. Freedom to worship him. And they also wanted to be in the promised land. They wanted to be in Jerusalem. And in 1948, God gifted that to the Jewish people, and in 1967, that gift got even greater, where they took control of Jerusalem. And Jerusalem in Matthew, I love it. Do you want to know why there's so much anti-Semitism? You know why October 7th happened? Because the city of the great king is Jerusalem. Jerusalem says, this is the city of the great king. That's why they're fighting over that piece of land. It's God's land. Am I a Zionist? I sure am. Why? Because God's a Zionist. Amen? God's a Zionist. Next, we come to the four questions, page 10. So tonight is different from all other nights. It's significant. We're rehearsing and remembering the great deeds and miracles that God did for our people long, long ago. So why is this night different from all other nights? Manish Tana Halayla Hazeh Michol Halelot. So why is this night different from all other nights? On all other nights, we eat either leavened bread or matzah. Why on this night do we only eat matzah? On all other nights, we eat all kinds of vegetables. Why on this night must we eat bitter herbs? On all other nights, we do not dip our herbs even once. We never do that. Why on this night do we dip them twice? Into salt water and into sweet fruit. On all other nights, everyone sits up or reclines while eating. Why on this night do we recline? During that last supper in the upper room, what was John doing with Jesus? Reclining. Why was he reclining? Where were they? Were they doing a Passover Seder? They sure were. Amen. We're going to see more of that later. So, on all other nights, everyone sits or reclines while eating. Why on this night do we recline? In unison, we're going to answer the four questions with this answer. Together, top of page 11. Together, we were slaves to Pharaoh in Egypt, and the Lord freed us from there with a mighty hand and an outstretched arm. Had not the Holy One, blessed is He, liberated our ancestors from Egypt, then we, our children, our children's children, would still be enslaved to Pharaoh in Egypt. Isn't that true? If Yeshua, Jesus, had not come and died on the cross, was buried and rose from the grave and ascended to heaven, then we would still be dead in our sins. But because of His great victory, we are free, just like God did to the Israelites. Amen? Isn't it all coming together? Isn't it great? The Lord is fantastic. Amen? So the concept of God's people needing a redeemer is found throughout the scripture. Beyond deliverance from adversity, our greatest need is redemption from slavery to sin and death. Would you agree? Okay. Turn with me over a bunch of pages to page 16. So Haggadah means to retell. Retelling. We are going to retell. The story summarized. So I'm going to read this, and I'm going to give a flyover, summarized reading of the Exodus story. Okay, page 16, follow along with me. When famine was severe in Canaan, God told Jacob, whom He had renamed Israel, to go down to sojourn in Egypt, where He would make him a great nation. Jacob moved from Beersheba with his family and settled in Goshen. Notice, only 70 people. One of the mitzvot, one of the commandments, why are Jewish families so large, 8, 10, 12 kids? Be fruit. God said, be fruitful and what? They're like the Energizer Bunny. They keep going and going. And isn't that just not surprising? God wants to bear fruit. He's a multiplier. He produces good things. And He brings forth what? Life. Satan comes to rob, kill, and destroy. The evidence of God being a God who loves life is have kids. So there's more life. He's the best. Amen? So Jacob moved to Beersheba with his family, settled in Goshen, only 70 people. The story picks up in Exodus 1, verse 6. Then Joseph and all his brothers and all that generation died. But Israel, the Israelites, were fruitful, increased rapidly, multiplied, and became extremely numerous so that the land was filled with them. A new king who had not known Joseph came to power in Egypt. He said to his people, look, the Israelite people are more numerous and powerful than we are. Notice this strong language. Let us deal what? That does not sound pleasant, does it? My wife says, Scott, if you don't hang up your wet towel on the hanger or the towel rack, I'm going to deal shrewdly with you. Up the, go right. Oh, Vey. You don't want to mess with Corey, right? Vinny?
No.
She's from Vermont. Don't mess with a Vermont girl. So, deal shrewdly with them. Otherwise, they will multiply further, and if war breaks out, they may join our enemies, fight against us, and leave the country. They were feeling threatened. So the Egyptians assigned taskmasters. It's getting worse. They assigned taskmasters over the Israelites to oppress them with forced labor. They built Pithom and Ramses as supply cities for Pharaoh, but the more they oppressed them, the more they multiplied. Can you imagine how frustrating that must have been? Good. The more they multiplied and spread, so the Egyptians came to what? Dread the Israelites. They worked the Israelites, what? Ruthlessly, and made their lives, man, it was hard for them. In brick and mortar and all kinds of field work, they ruthlessly impose all this work on them. Even worse, this will make your blood boil. This is like a movie. We hate villains, right? Even worse, Pharaoh commanded that all male babies born to the Hebrew women be killed. Outcry, isn't it? Genocide. First genocide right here. I love when women stand up when can't. You know, you find a woman, what do? But the midwives feared God and disobeyed Pharaoh. Yay. The Lord multiplied the Hebrew people even more. The story continues in Exodus chapter 2, verse 23 and 25. After a long time, the king of Egypt died. The Israelites groaned because of their difficult labor, and they cried out. And their cry for help ascended to God because of their difficult labor. So God, what? Heard their groaning, and he remembered his covenant with Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. God saw the Israelites, and he took notice. If you're going through a tough moment, whatever it might be, a wayward child, a sickness, whatever, when you cry to God, he hears. Cast all your cares upon him because he cares for you. It says that they cried and God heard their groaning. So not only did he hear them, not only that, he saw them, and not only that, but God went into action. God raised up a deliverer in the person of Moses. This is the greatest drama the world has ever seen. It's a God story. God raised up a deliverer in the person of Moses, who was preserved as a baby when Pharaoh's daughter drew him out of the Nile River. After 40 years in the palace with all the privileges of a prince of Egypt, Moses one day killed an Egyptian who was abusing a Hebrew slave. He fled to Midian to avoid Pharaoh's death sentence. I bet he did. At age 80, Moses is just minding his own business. He's put his past behind him. He's just hanging out with the shepherds and the sheep. God appeared in a burning bush and sent Moses back to Egypt. I don't want to go. I fled out here. Please, nope, go. To tell them, let my people go. But rather than releasing the slaves, Pharaoh hardened his heart and made the Hebrews gather straw in addition to making bricks. Their situation worsened. You imagine what the Israelites are thinking? Moses, it was better before you came back here? Oh, and you're going to what? Oh, you're going to lead us out? Oy vey. And then at the appointed time, God's the keeper of the clock. He's the timekeeper. At the appointed time, at the end of 400 years, which the Lord God spoke to Abraham, we see God moving. Isn't that a relief? So four things. God hears the cries of his people and sees their difficulties. God remembers his promises. Aren't you glad that God remembers his promises? He remembers his covenant. God acts powerfully. God acts personally. And God acts uniquely. Everyone doing okay? Okay. We're coming to the end here. I went a little bit over, about another 5-10 minutes. You guys okay? All right. After the 10 plagues, our helpers can go. So I want you to bring your grape juice to your next to your plate. We're going to go through the 10 plagues. This is key. This is something we're celebrating, how God poured out 10 plagues of judgment on the gods of Egypt. The God of Israel is the one true living God. The purpose of the plagues, what were they? They're clearly seen where God says, I will execute judgment against all the gods of Egypt. So the sun was a god. Cattle was a god. The Nile River was a god. God's going to judge them all because he's the one true living God. The Egyptians were polytheists, and God's explicit intent was to demonstrate his supremacy over the idols of Egypt. His audiences were Pharaoh, who first said when Moses went in and challenged him, the Lord has sent me. Moses said, I do not know who the Lord is. Well, after these 10 plagues, guess what? Moses is going to know who the Lord is, right? What did I say? Well, Moses, yes, thank you. Blame it on 250. It's Vinny's fault. Pharaoh is going to know who the Lord is. Thank you for helping me with that. Oy vey. So here are the 10 plagues that the Holy One, blessed is he, brought about to Egypt. Namely, so I'm going to say the name blood and dip my finger in it. When I say blood, you're going to dip your pinky. Then you're going to take your pinky out and you're going to make one drop of grape juice on your plate. So I'm going to go blood. When I say blood, you dip, take it out, and put one drop. And when you put a drop, we're in unison, blood. Okay? So let's start over. Blood, dip, together, blood. Yes. Frogs, frogs. Lice, lice. Flies, flies. Cattle disease, cattle disease. Boils, boils. Hail, hail. Locusts, locusts. Darkness, death of the firstborn. Those are the 10 plagues. I give you permission to lick your pinky. Welcome. For the sake of time, we're going to skip the Dainu song, but it's a count your blessings song. So had he brought us out of Egypt and not executed judgment against the Egyptians, it would have been enough. We all say, Dainu. Had he executed judgments against the Egyptians and not their gods, it would have been enough. Dainu. All right? So we'll say a few on each page. Page 22, all the way to the bottom, second one. Had he supplied our needs in the desert for 40 years and not fed us with manna, it would have been enough. Dainu. Had he fed us with manna and not given us the Shabbat, it would have been enough. Okay, the bottom two-thirds of the way down. Had he brought us into Israel and not built the temple for us, it would have been enough. Dainu. As believers in Messiah, the Messiah of Israel, as God's provision for our redemption, we add another line to this favorite Passover song. Together, if all we had was Yeshua, we would have more than enough. Dainu. I'm sorry, I said it wrong. If all he had given us was Yeshua, we would have more than enough. Dainu? Dainu. Okay. Page 24. Okay. Middle of page 24. Since the destruction of the temple in 70 AD, lamb usually is not eaten at Passover. The shank bone on the Seder plate reminds us of the central symbol of Pesach. So up above here, I have a lamb shank. All right? It's the central figure. But there is no sacrifice anymore because Yeshua has become our once and for all sacrifice. And the temple was destroyed in 70 AD. There's no way, but Yeshua replaced that sacrificial system. And there's great mourning in the Jewish community. They do not have a guarantee of their forgiveness. They've replaced sacrifice with three things: prayer, repentance, and giving to the poor. That's what the rabbis say. Fast, mourn, repent, pray, and give alms to the poor. But we know that without the shedding of blood, There's no forgiveness of sin. So the bottom of page 24, the Passover lamb, which our ancestors ate when the second temple stood. What was the reason for it? Because the Holy One, blessed is He, passed over the houses of our ancestors in Egypt. As it is said, you shall say, it is a Passover sacrifice to the Lord who passed over the houses of Egypt and the sons of Israel in Egypt when He smote the Egyptians but spared our homes, and the people bowed low and worshiped. Top of page 25. The next day, John saw Yeshua, Jesus, coming towards him and said, here is the Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world. For you know that you were redeemed, not from your empty way of life, inherited from the fathers, not with perishable things like silver or gold, but with the precious blood of Messiah, like that of a lamb without defect or blemish. It is no coincidence that Yeshua, here it is, presented himself in Jerusalem. How many days? 4 days before Passover. What did they do with the lamb? How many days did they have it inspected? Come on. At his trial, like a lamb led to the slaughter, and like a sheep silent before his shearers, he did not open his mouth. He was pronounced, I love this one, he was pronounced guiltless by Pilate. I find no fault. Why was he pronounced guiltless? Because he was without sin. Like my friend at Barnes & Noble, the only way that man could die for man is if that man was perfect. The only way that that man could be perfect is if God, who is perfect, came to be man and died for us. Amen? Wow. And like the Passover lamb, and unlike the criminals on either side, not one of his bones were broken. Just as the blood of the lamb had to be applied to save the lives of each firstborn son at the time of the Passover, so by faith, each individual must apply the blood of the Lamb of God to remove the death sentence from us. If you're here and you've been bought by a friend and you don't have a personal relationship with Yeshua, Jesus is offering you His gift of His shed blood. And by faith, if you say, yes, Jesus, I believe your innocent sacrifice took the place of my guilty sin, and I want to exchange your perfect life for my sinful life. Forgive me. I say yes to you. He will come into your life, fill you with the Holy Spirit, forgive you of your sins. You will become born again, and you will have a seat reserved for you in heaven. Amen? Amen. Amen. All of us have gone astray like sheep. We have all turned to our own way, and the Lord has punished him for the iniquities of us all. I know, I'm story night tonight. Is everyone okay? Great story. I did a Passover Seder last year in West Rutland, Vermont, and this woman kept looking at me and turning her face. I'm like, there's something up with her, Lord. And I get down from the first part of the Seder, and this Michelle Carr comes up and says, this is Marion. Scott, Marion is Jewish. I'm like, okay, a little discernment. She's like, this is my first Seder. I've never heard any of this Jesus stuff. I'm like, well, he's the Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world. I said, have you ever read Isaiah 53? She says, never. I said, would you like to? She's like, I got nowhere else to go. Let's read. So I read it through her. I had her read it. She read Isaiah 53. He was pierced, right? The whole nine. And I'm like, who does that sound like? She's like, it sounds like that person, Jesus, you've been talking about. I said, how come it says here he was despised and rejected by men? Why was he despised and rejected? I don't get it. I'm like, okay, I don't get it either, but he was despised and rejected. And immediately I'm thinking of John 1. I turned to John 1. I said, he came to his own, and his own didn't receive him. This I do know, but to those that received him, he gave them the right to become the children of God. And she said, read that again. I said, he came to his own and his own didn't receive him. He was rejected. I said, right. And then she read some more and she said, but to those that did receive him, he gave them the right to become the children of God. And her lips started quivering and her eyes filled up with tears and tears came down her face. And she said, I want to receive Jesus as my Messiah. Amen? That was last year at this time. Isn't that amazing? The simple reading of Isaiah 53. So pray for Marion, She's in a Bible study weekly with Michelle, and she's growing. Amen? Praise the Lord. So somebody got saved at a Passover Seder. Perfect, right? Amen. So let's land the plane. All right. Unleavened bread. We're supposed to eat unleavened bread. I'd like everyone to take a piece of unleavened bread. We're going to be eating in a minute. About the size of this. Matzah symbolized there wasn't enough time for the dough to rise because Moses, Pharaoh said, get out, I've had enough. After the plagues, after the death of his son, he said, I've had enough, get out of here. Get going. And they left. They didn't have enough time, and that's where matzah came from. So bitter herbs. Why do we eat the bitter herbs? Because the Egyptians embittered the lives of our ancestors and made our lives bitter with brick and mortar and all kinds of field work. They ruthlessly imposed all this work on them. Life is full of tears and bitterness in this sin-cursed world. Would you agree? Yeshua sympathizes with our plight. He was despised. Here it is. He was despised and rejected by men, a man of sorrow who knew what sickness was. He was like one who turned away. He was despised, and we did not value him. Keep going to the left. You can put your piece of matzah to the side. We're going to come to the second I will. Lift up your second cup. This is the second promise. I will deliver you from the forced labors of the Egyptians. I'm going to say it in Hebrew, then you repeat it with me in English. Baruch atah Adonai Eloheinu melech haolam, Perei Peri Hagafen, page 31, together. Blessed are you, Lord our God, King of the universe, who's created the fruit of the vine. I will deliver you from the forced labors of the Egyptians. Are the Israelites still being forced to do labor by the Egyptians? No. Are we still under the forced labors of another Pharaoh named Satan? No. Let's drink. Come on. Amen. Everyone okay? We're going to eat in a minute. So pick up your matzah. I keep saying that like any good pastor. We're landing the plane 15 minutes later. So we're commanded to eat unleavened bread and bitter herbs. So we're going to say the blessing. Baruch atah Adonai Eloheinu melech haolam, hamotzi lechem min haaretz. Blessed are you, Lord our God, King of the universe, who set us apart through his commandments and commanded us to eat matzah. Next, take your matzah and take your horseradish and dip it in your horseradish. You guys see that? You guys are from Montana. There's ranchers. You guys are tough. Put a nice dollop of horseradish on your matzah. And when you have dipped, lift up so I know that everyone, I don't want to start before it's prematurely. So we're going to pray before we eat because we're going to need God's help. Baruch atah Adonai Eloheinu melech haolam, asher kidishanu b'mitzvotav v'tzivanu lahad likner shel maror. Blessed are you, Lord our God, King of the universe, who has set us apart through his commandments and commanding us to eat the bitter herbs. Let's eat together. Oy vey. Oh my gosh. Wow. Oh my gosh. Wow. Wow. That was insane. So real quick, you've already gotten the idea that God is awesome. Would you agree? God wanted us to remember the bitterness of the slavery that we just remembered. We're remembering. God didn't tell us to take fresh strawberries or fresh huckleberries and eat them. What did he tell us to do? Bitter herbs. Thank you. Bitter herbs. He knows what to do, doesn't he? Okay. I want you to take two more pieces of matzah. I want you to go back in the horseradish. Yep. Go back in the horseradish. And then take another piece of matzah, and there's some charoset. This is sweet. This is going to take the sting away. And you want to put some charoset on another piece. And you're going to make what's called a Hillel sandwich. Hillel was a great rabbi and commentator of the Torah. And you're going to combine it like this. Okay? A little bit of horseradish, a little bit of charoset on two pieces like an Oreo. And whenever you would like, you can partake. And remember, the charoset is to remind us of the mortar that the Jewish people used. So let's eat. Oh my gosh, it's so hot. That's some of the hottest horseradish I've had on record. I've done this a lot. It's really hot. Did you get it? It's all your fault. Final thing before dinner. I went 18 minutes over. Will you forgive me? Is it okay? Please thank the table, those that have prepared. They've back there waiting. So the temple was destroyed in what year? 70 AD. It was horrific. Jewish people fast and mourn over the destruction of the temple. That's how great of a mourning it is. Why do we have the egg? A lot of people say it's just to remind us of the destruction of the temple. Fathers, take the egg before dinner and do this. To remember the destruction of the temple. So again, there's some added mourning to the Seder as they remember. So at this point is where we would traditionally stop, pause, and we will have our festive Seder meal. So now is the time where we take a break. We will eat our meal. We will fellowship and laugh and enjoy each other's company and enjoy the Lord and all that He's provided for us. And after dinner, I will call us our attention. And we will do another 15 minutes. We will partake. We'll look for the Afikomen. We'll partake of the Lord's Supper, the third and celebratory fourth cup. And look at Elijah and call it a night. Any instructions about dinner, David?
Okay, I think it's on. So here's what we're going to do for dinner. We have a wonderful buffet set up. We're thankful for our team, Lee and Anka and Heather and Lily, and just they did an exceptional job, and Shannon was involved too. So we're thankful for them. But here's how it's going to work. We'll dismiss the tables 1 through 6, are going to go out these doors to the end of the hallway, and we'll start on the south side of the fellowship hall, and you can go on either side of the buffet lines and then come this way and then make your way back in. And then the other higher number tables, you're going to go out this door, go to the end of the hallway, and then hit the buffet line and come back this way. Does that sound pretty simple? Right? And then when you're done, if you want to make a little bit of room at your table, you're more than welcome to dispose of just your plate in the trash cans in the back, all right? So let's pray, and we'll partake. Father God, thank you for this time. Thank you for the learning. Thank you, Lord, for the history. But Lord, we thank you for you. Thank you for your great provision that you provided for us tonight. Thank you for Scott being here and also his friend Vinny. We ask, God, that you would bless them and bless our meal and fellowship. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Amen.
Okay, we can start heading out these two doors.
For the Lord's goodness. So now we've finished our meal, we've had our dessert, and we now gather together And we are looking for the Afikoman. So the father hides it, and I'm going to act like I'm a son, and all my cousins are fighting. I'm kicking my cousins down the steps. And I find it. Oh, my gosh, Abba, I found it. Great. And I bring it to Dad, and he will give me a monetary gift. It used to be $5. Inflation. I used to blame it on Biden, but I can't anymore. Now it's like $20. It goes a long way, right? So I've found this, and the father will bring it, and he will break it up. And we're going to see what Yeshua did on that last Seder. So I will read for us out of Luke chapter 22. It says this, Luke chapter 22, I'll start in verse 7. Then came the day of unleavened bread. How about that, huh? Like they were still doing the Passover in the days of Jesus. Then came the day of unleavened bread when the Passover lamb had to be sacrificed. And if you read the scholars, there was like hundreds and hundreds of lambs and goats and bulls being sacrificed in all the different biblical feasts. Tons of sacrifices going on. And here they are. The day came of matzah when the Passover lamb had to be sacrificed. Now Yeshua sent Peter, good Jewish boy, and John, saying, go and prepare the what? The Passover for us, so that we may eat. Then they said to him, where do you want us to prepare? You know someone's Jewish when they answer a question with a question. Are you Jewish? Why do you ask? Because I'm Jewish and you just asked the question, so tradition to respond. Go and prepare the Passover with us that we may eat. Where do you want us to prepare? And he said, behold, when you have entered the city, a man carrying a jar of water will meet you. Follow him into the house that he enters and say to the owner of the house, the teacher says to you, where is the guest room where I may eat the Passover with my disciples? And with that, he will show you a large upper room fully furnished. Make preparations there. So they left, notice this, so they left and found it just as Yeshua had told them. I mean, we can stop there and have a message. They found it just as Yeshua had told them. Do you know that everything Yeshua has told us and has promised us, we're going to get there and we're going to see streets of gold because he said there'll be streets of gold. The gates will be like pearls and we will see there'll be no sun. Why? Because the Lamb. It will be just as he told us. We will have everlasting life because he has told us we will have everlasting life. We will find it just as he told us. Amen. Amen? Praise God. Come on. I think I'm a little Pentecostal. One time I was at a wedding and there was a brother there, African American, but he's like, brother, you got soul. I'm like, I grew up in Philly, man. All right. So they left and found it just as Yeshua had told them, and they prepared the Passover. We've heard the word Passover here 4 times in these short 4 verses. Then the hour came. Yeshua reclined at the table. Yeshua is with his disciples celebrating this. This is amazing. He is with them, and they are looking back and remembering the lamb that was slain in every home and how God delivered them. They're celebrating. But the disciples had yet not known that the lamb was sitting with them at that Seder meal. Give you chills, doesn't it? And the hour had come, and Yeshua reclined at the table with his disciples, and he said to them, listen to this, I have eagerly desired to eat this Passover with you before I suffer. The Lord eagerly desires to fellowship. He has been fellowshipping. I've sensed his presence. There's Pentecostal again. The Lord is with us. Have you sensed his presence? His sweet, loving presence. His chesed is with us. Amen? For I tell you, I'm sorry, I jumped. And the hour had come, and he reclined at the tables. I have eagerly desired to eat this Passover with you before I suffer. For I tell you, I will never eat of it again until it is fulfilled in the kingdom of God. And he had taken the cup, offered a blessing, and said, take this and share it amongst yourselves. For I tell you, I will never drink of it, of the fruit of the vine, from now on until the kingdom of heaven comes. And when he had taken the matzah, offered a blessing, broke it, and gave to his disciples, saying, this is my body given for you. Do this in memory of me. That sounds like communion, doesn't it? This is happening at a Passover Seder, what the Jewish people have done for thousands of years. So he breaks, the father breaks the matzah that's been found, and he passes it to his family members, just like Yeshua had broken it and passed it to all of his disciples. So I'd like everyone to take a piece of matzah and hold it in their hand. So we're at the third, I'm sorry. Normally you would fill the third cup, but our cups are already full. You've taken a piece of matzah. So the afikomen was taken from the middle piece of matzah, which is striped and pierced, right? Hold it up, see the light through. It acts like it's been bruised and it's unleavened. He was pierced because of our transgressions, crushed because of our iniquity. The punishment for our peace was on him, and we are healed by his wounds. Zechariah, I mentioned this, 12:10. Then I will pour out a spirit of grace and on supplication on the house of David and the residents of Sydney, of the residents of Jerusalem. And they will look on me whom they've pierced, and they will mourn for him as one mourns for an only child and weep bitterly for him as one weeps for a firstborn. Yeshua was wrapped in cloth and hidden away. Shared that already. And it results in a gift when it's discovered. We receive the gift of eternal life. We are saved by grace through faith. It's not of yourselves. It's the gift of God. Yeshua is the bread of life. He's the Lamb of God. And he's the Passover Lamb. Personal faith is required. Think back to those days. The Jewish people had to take the lamb, inspect it, kill it, pour the blood into a basin. And by faith, Moses said, take the blood and put it on the doorpost and the lintel. And when the angel of death comes through and sees the what? The blood, he will pass over. And you can imagine those Jewish people, by faith, they listened to God's instruction, did what he asked them to do, and were huddled safe under the blood, safe from the angel of death, and there was no cry from the death of the firstborn. And they probably could hear those that didn't believe crying out because the death of the firstborn had just happened. Just like Abraham believed the Lord, and it was accredited to him as righteousness. Remember Abraham and Sarah beyond childbearing age, right? Way old, or as they say in Boston, wicked old, really old. And God says, I'm going to make you a promise. I'm going to make your descendants as the skies of stars of the sky. And they were. He's like, last time, do I need to remind you? Like Sarah, she's really, really, like wicked old, God. That's okay. I'm going to do it. And he believed God. Even though what had not happened yet, it hadn't been seen, but Abraham believed. There are things that haven't not happened yet that God has promised us, but we believe, right? If there's a wayward child and you haven't seen them, come to faith. Believe what you have yet not seen, because God has promised you things. Amen? Amen. The blood had to be applied to the doorpost for God to pass over. The angel of death to pass over. If you confess through your mouth that Yeshua is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised from the dead, you will be saved. So at the conclusion of the Last Supper, now listen to this. Let's go back. Let's put ourselves here. Every Seder, they find the afikomen, right? They break it up normally, and they distribute it to everyone. They say a blessing and eat, remembering what God has done. But tonight is different. This night is different from every other night because the Lamb of God stands up and introduces himself, as the Lamb. That evening, I am the Lamb, Jesus said. That night, he reveals himself as the Lamb of God. Every other year, it's just been, let's eat. But he stands up and says, at the conclusion of the Last Supper, Yeshua took bread, gave thanks, Baruch atah Adonai Eloheinu melech haolam, hamotzi lechem min haaretz, blessed are you, Lord our God, King of the universe, who brings forth bread of the earth. He said, take, this is my body. Their heads are spinning. This is my body, which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me. Let's remember the Lamb of God and partake tonight. Every time I go through the Seder, I think it can't get any better, and it just does. Because now we come to the third cup. The first I will. This is amazing. So God, he is the great, this is the best drama in the world. He sets up taking his body right at the afikomen, right at the point of the dessert, and reveals himself during this afikomen. He reveals the blood of the new covenant during the third cup. What is the third cup? The cup of redemption. So our first I will is, I will bring you out from the burdens of the Egyptians. I will deliver you from their bondage. Third one, I will redeem you. Every Passover before this, they say the third cup and they say, the Lord will redeem us. I will redeem you. They are celebrating the redemption. Past, but the Redeemer is now standing up and saying, I, Jesus, Yeshua says, I am redeeming you right now through the blood that will be shed just in a few days from now. Is that amazing? So after dinner, in the same way, he took the third cup. It's just amazing. And he says, this is the cup in the new covenant in my blood. It is shed for you. Baruch atah Adonai Eloheinu melech haolam, Purei Pri Hagafen. Blessed are you, Lord our God, King of the universe, who creates the fruit of the vine. The third cup, the cup of redemption, who we find our redemption in who? Jesus the Messiah, the Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world. Let's drink. Amen. You can't script it better, can you? Next, we come to Elijah. So, normally the door is cracked open and there is a place set because we're waiting for Elijah. Why are we waiting for Elijah? Because the Bible tells us that Elijah is the forerunner to who? The Mashiach, the Messiah. So when Elijah appears on his heels is who? The Messiah. And the people of Israel are being oppressed and in bondage under the Romans, and they're waiting for the Redeemer to come and bring the fullness of every promise God has made to the Jewish people. So we're waiting for Elijah. So we are asked, go check to see if Elijah's here. And in Philly, this is how we do it. Yo, Elijah. I don't think he's here, Mom. Mom says, check again. Elijah, Mom wants to know if you're here. Elijah's not here. And you're like, oy vey, we have to wait. But guess what? We don't have to wait. Why? Because Elijah has already come. John the Baptist came. Come on. Could turn into a Pentecostal church. Elijah has already come. John the Baptist has come in the spirit and power of who? Elijah, and he came to what? Who was in the wilderness baptizing, preparing the way of Jesus? Who came before Jesus? John the Baptist. Elijah has already come. Amen? Amen? Praise God. But I tell you, Elijah's already come, and they didn't recognize him. Then the disciples understood that he spoke to them about John the Baptist. Look, I'm going to send you Elijah the prophet. Bottom of page 39. the sense of expectancy of Elijah's appearance at the Seder table serves to remind us of the Lord's promised return. How eagerly do we await for his appearance? My wife always says to me, Scott, I envision that God will rip open the I'm like, wow, that's a strong word. God will rip open the sky. And we'll hear, you're going to hear this on Sunday because we're going to talk about the fall feast. And he's going to blow the shofar. And he's going to ascend on the clouds. And the Melech, come on, the Melech will have arrived. And the kingdom of heaven will be set up. Amen? That's coming. That's coming. And that leads us to our fourth cup. Our fourth cup. Let's take our fourth cup in our hands. So he delivers us from our burdens. He takes us out from bondage. He redeems us with an outstretched arm and with great judgments. And he doesn't leave us alone then. Then he takes us to be his people and declares that he is our God. Amen? And he says, I will not drink of this cup with you until I drink it anew in my Father's kingdom. This fourth cup is the cup of thanksgiving, where we give thanks to God for his redeeming work. But we will not drink of this until we drink it with the Lord. We will see him face to face in the kingdom of heaven, and we will drink the fruit of the vine. And I guarantee you, it'll be the best wine you've ever tasted. Amen? So this is a dress rehearsal. So, Baruch atah Adonai, Eloheinu melech haolam, Purei Puri Hagafen, I will take you as my people. Father, we thank you for Jesus tonight. We thank you for purchasing us and redeeming us and taking us out of darkness and bringing us into your marvelous light and making us your people and you being our God. And we drink in honor of you and we thank you. In Yeshua's name, amen. Let's all drink. Top of page 49. The Passover Seder is concluded according to all of its traditional details with all of its laws and customs. As we have been privileged to celebrate this Seder, so may we one day celebrate it in Jerusalem. Pure One, who dwells in high places. God, support your people, countless in number. May you soon, Lord, redeem all your people joyfully in Zion. This Haggadah was made before 1948, and it was the cry of every Jewish heart to be in Yerushalayim. So they created this prayer next year in Jerusalem, but we have people living in Jerusalem right now, 8 million Jewish people. Israel has surpassed the Jewish population of America just in the last 10 years. There's 6 million Jewish people in the States. There's now 8 million in Israel. God's calling his people back. He's fulfilling, bringing them from the north, the south, the east, and the west. And the bones are coming together. And the tendons are coming together. And skin is coming on, and the last thing is, live. He will call life, and they will live. Amen? Amen? So we pray this prayer next year in Jerusalem, but we don't need to pray, because Jerusalem is available for us to take LL to Israel. But we're going to pray 3-2-1 next year in Jerusalem, and our prayer is next year in the New Jerusalem. Come on. Amen. So out loud, shout if you'd like, next year in Jerusalem. 3-2-1, next year in Jerusalem. And that concludes our Passover Seder. Amen. David?
Thank you, Scott. Thank you, too, for coming out, Vinny. What a blessing to meet you, brother. You know, he's more than just an elder at the church and Scott's friend. He's also Scott's bodyguard. So We got Scott from Philly, and we got Vinny from New Jersey. So just don't cross them, okay? Okay. We're glad that both of you guys are here with us. What a blessing. What a blessing. A couple things before you go. If you're able to help put things away, that's great. If not, that is totally great too, and you can be dismissed in just a moment. Scott is one of our missionaries here at Calvary Chapel, so we support him and his family and their ministry on a monthly basis. But what's really, really important is if you can get connected with them on a personal basis. So they have a card like this, a little flyer out front. You can fill out this piece right here and get connected with them, get their email news updates so that you can pray for them. They have some different things and collateral out there. Also, if you would like one of the Haggadahs that we went through tonight, and you'd like to take that home, you can do that for a donation of $5. I think cash, check, whatever, cattle. yeah. Gold. Do you do crypto?
We do.
Okay. There's also a QR code on here that you can scan with your phone if you know how to do that. God bless you guys. I'm so thankful that each one of you are here. I think we've done about 5 or 6 of these now, and this is we've reached max capacity for this place, but I'm really glad that each one of you got to enjoy this. I hope you learned something. I hope you were intrigued and saw just some of the many connections that we see in the Old Testament with our new covenant life. God bless you guys, and have a wonderful night, and we hope to see you on Sunday. And Scott's going to share about the fall feasts. God bless you.